Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Dion Gordon Podcast. I'm your host, the connoisseur of common sense, the purveyor of authenticity, and the man who calls everything right down the middle. Dion Tyre Gordon, enough of the bullshit. Let's get to work. First and foremost, a disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed here on the Dion Gordon Podcast are the thoughts and opinions of one Dion Tyre Gordon and should not be reproduced or retransmitted without the express written consent of Dion Tyre Gordon. And also, the views and opinions expressed here are not meant to be misconstrued in a way that makes it sound or seem like I hate white people. I don't hate white people. I don't. I do not sincerely hate Caucasian people. Here's what I don't like. Here's what I hate. I hate narcissistic, problematic, egotistical, ridiculous, entitled, selfish, privileged, smug, arrogant, condescending, douchebag people in general, who are consistently adversarial towards black people. Now, that could be anybody. That's not exclusive to white folks, to our Caucasian friends. That could literally be anybody. There's plenty of black folks who fit all of those descriptions, who are self-censored, egotistical, egomaniacal, ridiculous, problematic, narcissistic, smug, arrogant, condescending, and look down their nose at other black people. There's Asian folks who don't like black people. There's Latino folks who don't like black people. There are other black people who don't like black people. At the end of the day, everybody hates black people. So when I say the things I say and that I'm going to say in this podcast, I don't want my Caucasian friends to take it the wrong way. I don't hate you. I hate self-censored, egotistical, egomaniacal, problematic, narcissistic, douchebag, condescending, privileged, and entitled people in general who honestly think and believe that black people should shut the fuck up, get out the way, and just be on the receiving end of bullshit. Anybody who thinks that black people are less than, below standard, not as good, not fully equipped, not on their level, I have a problem with. If you are the kind of person of any race or background or ethnicity that laughs at the harm and the trauma and the downtrodden nature of black people, if you openly mock and ridicule the death or any deaths of unarmed, innocent black folks, if you laugh at George Floyd or Ahmaud Arbery or Breonna Taylor, Stephon Clark, Terrence Crutcher, Freddie Gray, Alton Sterling, if you're that kind of person that makes excuses every single time consistently for the police officers that killed these unarmed people, fuck you. Fuck you and everything you stand for, regardless of what your skin color is. Like I said, it's not so much that I hate white people, it's that I don't like motherfuckers that are consistently adversarial towards black folks, people that lack sympathy and empathy towards the plight of black people in America and all over the world in general. I can't stand you. We have an issue. I'm a black person. I'm a proud black person. I take immense joy in wearing the skin color that I wear every day. This is not a game to me. This is serious business. I love being black. I love black people. I love black culture. I love black women. I love black everything. So I take it personal when people disrespect black people. That's just what it is. So why do I say all that? I say all that to say this. This past weekend in Montgomery, Alabama, an incident took place in which a group of white folks, entitled, privileged, selfish, narcissistic, egomaniacal, egotistical, ridiculous, problematic, got into an altercation with some black folks, starting with an elder black man, an older black man, doing his job, in the words of legendary comedian Ricky Smiley, doing his job, more than likely trying to save some money up, get some extra funds to help out his kids or grandkids with back-to-school supplies and back-to-school clothes. These white folks got into an altercation with some black folks over the weekend and proceeded to get their monkey asses whipped. It's not that I hate white people. It's that there's a number, a large percentage of white folks who fit the description of the kind of people I don't like. That's not my problem. That's not my issue. That's their fault. And watching the footage that ensued, that went viral all over the world, of these sour cream citizens, these palm-colored people, these sun dodgers, getting their monkey asses whipped in this impromptu racial war. I can't lie. I can't deny it. It brought me joy. It filled my heart with joy. I gleefully have watched the footage of this at least 217 times. Why? Because it was awesome. Because finally, as a black person, I got to see narcissistic, problematic, egotistical, selfish, privileged, entitled people get what was coming to them. It just so happens, circumstance. It just so happens that these people who fit that description were of Caucasian descent. White people, sour cream citizens, palm colored people, sun dodgers, folks that make food, knowing full and goddamn well there's a cat on top of their kitchen counter, people that lack seasoning in their food, got their asses handed to them in decisive fashion. And it's not even just that. The biggest reason why I gleefully, happily enjoyed the footage of what I saw was I saw something I don't often see. I saw something we as black people as a collective don't usually see. Black unity. Black unity, black people being connected, black people coming together for a common cause, for the greater good, black people standing together in unison, helping each other out, standing their ground, having each other's back. There was a brother that swam up for action, looking for a fight to help out the elder that was being abused, the elder that was on the receiving end of elder abuse, a young brother, 16 years of age, swam through the water because where else would you swim at? He swam up looking for action and he found it. And then he hops out the water and proceeds to give one of the troublemakers, one of those low-life degenerates, those miscreants, thugs, criminals, riffraff, disruptive people, domestic terrorists. This young brother, 16 years of age, who shall be known from this point forward as Scuba Gooding Jr. or Michael B. Phelps or Sea Murder, as in S-E-A, murder, Swimmy Butler, Swimmy Hendrix. This young brother came out of nowhere to the rescue to help out the elder. The elder, doing his job, told this group of entitled and privileged people that you cannot park your boat here. There's a bigger boat coming in that needs to park, that needs to dock right here. You can't park your boat here. Who are you to even try to do this? I'm just doing my job. They're not even paying me that much. I lived in Alabama. I know for a fact jobs in Alabama don't pay shit. This brother, this elder doing his job, told these miscreants, these low-life degenerates, scumbags, scallywags, that they can't park, that they can't dock their boat at that particular location. And they weren't trying to hear it. Why? Because they thought they were better than him. They thought he's beneath them. Who the fuck are you to tell me what to do? You can't tell me shit. I'm up here and you're down there. You're a nobody. Shouldn't you be out in the field picking cotton somewhere? I'm surprised you even have a job. Usually people that look like you just sit home and collect welfare all the time. Who are you to tell me what to do and where I can dock my boat at? Hell nah. And one guy had the audacity, the unmitigated gall, the temerity, the nerve to take off, to swing on the elder and initiate a fight. And then the elder stood his ground and fought back, took off his hat, threw it in the air like graduation. And apparently this was the signal, the alert, for other brothers and sisters to come in and help out. Stand your ground, come together, be connected, display unity. In unison, we're going to fight back. We're not going to take this anymore. One of ours is getting beaten up by a lot of them. There was multiple, at least 7, 8, 9 of them beating up one of ours. A senior citizen, he appeared to be an older brother, an elder. And other black folks came to his rescue. What a beautiful thing. What a beautiful sight. The ass whooping is beautiful in its own right. But the collective unity displayed by the black delegation just warmed my heart. I haven't been that happy. I haven't been that proud to witness something on camera since the 49ers won Super Bowl 29. No matter what I'm talking about, I got to figure out a way to finagle my favorite football team into the conversation. I have not been that happy since the 49ers won Super Bowl 29. That was 28 years ago. 28 years ago. But this past weekend at the Montgomery Sweet Tea Party, at the Alabama ass whooping, the Montgomery molly whopping, I was overjoyed. I was over the moon. You couldn't paint a better picture. Now, some people might look at that and say, might hear that and say, well, how can you celebrate violence? As a matter of fact, there's black folks who are problematic, who are not on code. There are black folks who don't want to be a part of the team. They want to be free agents. They want to sign with another team. They don't want to play for us. They want to play for them. There are black folks saying, how can black people celebrate violence and assault and people getting beaten up, women being smashed across the head with folding chairs as if they were Ken Shamrock or Mick Foley being annihilated by The Rock in the I Quit match? How can you celebrate that? What kind of man are you? What kind of person are you? Where is your humanity? Oh, the humanity. Are you serious? Who says that? Who even thinks like that? Where was the humanity for George Floyd? Where was the humanity for Tamir Rice, a 12-year-old that was shot and killed in broad daylight by the police and they got away with it? Where was the humanity for Breonna Taylor? The state of Kentucky decreed that the apartment she was living in was more important. The property damage was more important than her life. Where was the humanity at for Breonna Taylor? No one died over the weekend. The only thing that happened at the Sweet Tea, the Montgomery Sweet Tea Party of 2023, the Alabama ass whooping, the Montgomery molly whopping, the only thing that happened was people got their asses kicked. What's wrong with that? It's just a fight. It's just an ass whooping, a brawl that they started, that they initiated. At the risk of sounding childish and juvenile and petulant, they started it. The elder was just doing his job. What happened to compliance? What happened to listening to authority? What happened to all that? Because every single time a black person is killed, harassed, victimized, brutalized, assaulted, erased off this earth by an unruly douchebag cop, a member of a federally authorized gang, otherwise known as the Blue Klux Klan. Every single time a brother or sister, Sandra Bland, rest in peace, Every single time a brother or a sister gets fucked up by the Blue Klux Klan, no one cares about their humanity. They're blamed for it. It's their fault. You should have complied. You should have followed the officer's orders. You know what? The officer felt threatened. It's either me or you. I got a family to go home to. I got to react. I felt threatened. You made a move. You reached for your pocket. You did something to provoke me to put 14 warning shots in your back. You know why black people laughed at that shit? Because we're fucking fed up. We're tired of being on the receiving end of bullshit. You had a brother a couple of months ago in New York City. They got choked out by a white dude, a Caucasian, because he was dancing on the subway and allegedly causing problems and harm to the other passengers on the subway. And a renegade ex-Marine decides to enact vigilante justice and go into business for himself and kill this young brother. Where was the humanity for Jordan Neely? Daniel Penny, the white man in question who killed Jordan Neely unnecessarily, didn't seem to have too much humanity for the life of Jordan Neely. So, you know, forgive me if I just don't have a whole lot of sympathy for the sour cream citizens that caught a major league ass whooping over the weekend. Even the women, okay? Even the envelopian that got her ass smashed, who got her head, got instant CTE from getting her head smashed in with a folding chair. Forgive me if I lack sympathy for the envelopian that caught that folding chair to the head. You shouldn't have been involved. You shouldn't have been around racist-ass people. Clearly, you must also be complicit in their racism because you hang out with them. You shouldn't have been involved. That was men fighting, first and foremost. You're a woman. You shouldn't be in that. That's none of your business. Those were men fighting. Let the men fight. Now, that might come across as being misogynist or chauvinistic. I personally don't care. If a group of men are fighting, women should stand the fuck back. Vice versa. If a group of women are fighting as a man, I'm not getting involved in that. That's none of my business. Men fight men. Women fight women. But she decides to get involved. She's trying to break it up or whatever she's trying to do. Hey, you get beaten over the head with a chair. It is what it is. You're involved. You're in the middle of it. This is a fight. A fracas, a melee, a Donnybrook, a kerfuffle. Shit happens. It's a fight. I've seen fights. I've been in fights. Shit happens. If you find yourself in the middle of a fight and you think to yourself, you know what? I don't want to get fucked up. Then run away. Get out of Dodge. Move. Leave. Jump in the water. Get back on the boat. Get the fuck out the way. Just that simple. But once you involve yourself in the fight, all bets are off. And the brother that was swinging the chair, there were several MVPs involved in all this. Sea Murder, Scuba Gooding Jr., Swimmy Hendricks, Swimmy Butler. He's the first MVP, all right? But then an elder is the second MVP for standing his ground, defending himself. The third MVP, my man that was swinging the chair like La Parca back in the day. This shit was awesome. I can't even lie. On this same weekend, you had UFC fights, AEW Collision, WWE SummerSlam. The best fight, the most entertainment value I got all weekend was watching this fight at the Riverfront in Montgomery, Alabama. Restitution at the Riverfront. Revenge at the Riverfront. Renegades at the Riverfront. This was awesome. This had everything action-packed. You had a brother swimming up looking for action. I can't even swim. I'm a United States sailor. I'm a veteran of the United States Navy, which means I went to boot camp. In order to successfully pass United States Navy boot camp, you got to pass a swim test. You got to jump off a 15-foot platform into the water and then backstroke 150 meters. Then prone float face down in the water for 5 minutes. It took me 39 attempts to successfully pass the United States Navy swim test. I can't swim. Okay, I am a walking stereotype. Put me in the water, I'll more than likely drown. It took me 39 attempts to pass the United States Navy swim test. I am a walking stereotype. However, Swimmy Butler, C. Murder, is an American hero. He deserves a Congressional Medal of Honor. He defies stereotypes. My man swam up looking for action. Have you ever seen that before? I've seen plenty of fights in my day, a lot. I've seen motherfuckers get thrown off of balconies. I've seen people get body slammed onto the front windshield of their own car. I've seen people get knocked out. I've seen people get shot. Fuck it. Real talk. In Baltimore, Maryland, on more than one occasion, I've seen people get shot 15, 20 feet away from me. I've seen it. My own two eyes. I saw a brother one time getting stomped out by about 10 other brothers. The police were 5 feet away watching it. This brother was getting stomped out like a cigarette. And the police stood there and watched it and let it happen. I've seen women fight, men fight. I've seen midgets fight. I've seen bar fights, strip club fights. I've seen strippers at the strip club fight each other over tips. I've seen a lot of things. I ain't never seen nobody swim up to participate in a fight. That brother is incredible. I'm being serious. Let me tell you something. If I were a rich and famous celebrity, if I had like millions of dollars, I would bail him out. Whoever got locked up in that whole fracas, I'm going to pay for their bail money and then give them more money. I'll give that brother that swam up, I don't know, $20,000 just because you are a hero. You won the day. More often than not, too many times, when black people are getting fucked up in public, other black people stand back and watch. Jordan Neely getting choked out by Daniel Penny on a New York City subway train. Black people stood there and watched it. No one helped him. No one intervened to save that brother's life. All fun and games, all jokes aside, if the black folks in Montgomery, Alabama did not descend to help the elder that was getting beaten up, that was being assaulted, these unruly, undisciplined, degenerate folks were committing felonious assault on an old man, outnumbering him. They jumped him. If other black people did not come in to help that brother out, he might have died. He might have been another hashtag trending on Twitter. It's amazing no one got shot. I used to live in Alabama. Alabama is an open carry state. You are legally allowed to walk around in public with a gun on you. There was a marijuana dispensary I used to frequent right next to my apartment. I'd go in there. There was a guy, the guy behind the register, had two guns on him at all times in a holster, two guns being displayed on him at all times. Every single time I went in there, this white guy had guns on him. Wide ass open, broad daylight, public view, did not care. I'm thinking to myself, I'm just trying to buy some weed. I came here looking for some edibles. Why do you need to have your guns out? But that's how it is in Alabama. That's the way it is in that redneck, podunk, cousin fucking state known as Alabama. Open carry. I'm legitimately shocked and pleasantly surprised that not one of the brothers and sisters involved in that fight, dishing out the fade, caught any bullets that day. Not a single black person was harmed. Not one black person is trending on Twitter with the letters RIP preceding their name. No one became a hashtag during that melee. that took place over the weekend in Montgomery, Alabama. I'm shocked. I really am. I'm surprised. Like I said, this is an open carry state full of rednecks. They can't wait to shoot somebody, especially a black person. And no one got shot. Not even the police. Police intervened. Didn't seem all that in a hurry or in a rush to really make any arrests. I mean, there was all kinds of chaos ensued throughout this entire thing. This was a fight. This was absolute mayhem. You had people getting thrown in the water. It looked like a hardcore wrestling match on WWE. But it was better. It was better than SummerSlam. SummerSlam sucked. This was awesome. This was a fight. This was real. Believable. This was authentic. This was hostility. This was years and years and years of frustration being unleashed because we as black people are tired, sick and tired of being on the receiving end of bullshit and watching it on social media, on regular media, on our phones, various apps, seeing time and time again a black person being taken off the earth or having their lives dramatically changed in one instant because they got shot in the back or they got pummeled by some nefarious cops, duplicitous people wearing a badge, the Ku Klux Klan, or some renegade, unruly, undisciplined white person. Go ahead and say it, a Sun Dodger, a sour cream citizen, took the law into their own hands and decided they were above the law and they were going to physically harm a black person just because they knew they can get away with it. The arrogance, the entitlement, the privilege. And that's how this whole thing started. This whole thing started with some people being told you cannot dock your boat here by a black man, and some arrogant, entitled people said, no, you can't tell me what to do, fuck off. And then proceeded to try to fight this man, to harm this man, the elder, doing his job. Black people said, not today. The black folks of Montgomery, Alabama said, not today. Not on my watch, not right now. Nope, it ain't gonna happen today. We're going to fight back. So many times in the past, black folks back in the day preached nonviolence and turning the other cheek. Hey man, listen, it's real simple. You got two cheeks on your face and two cheeks on your ass. Eventually, you run out of cheeks to turn. You can no longer turn a cheek. Nonviolence doesn't work. It never did work. It never will work. Unfortunately, the language of those kind of people is violence. That's just being honest. That's just being real. The language they speak is violence. This country in general was founded on violence. And you got to answer violence with violence. Black people are nonviolent by nature, but doesn't mean we can't be aggressive. Doesn't mean we can't hold our own. Doesn't mean we can't defend ourselves. And that's what needs to happen more often. Defend yourself. I'm not saying go out there and just commit crimes and attack people and commit felonious assaults unprovoked. But if somebody is trying to kill you, don't just stand there and pray for them. Fight back. And that's what you saw over the weekend in Montgomery, Alabama, at the Alabama ass whooping, the Montgomery Melee, the Sweet Tea Party of 2023. That was American. That was Black history right there. August 6th shall forever be known as a holiday going forward. That day is going to live in infamy in United States American history. That was the day some folks fucked around and found out. That was the day that some folks played stupid games and won stupid prizes. Now, I'll say this, though. One thing that bothered me initially, the footage was being taken, and still is really, being taken down by several social media outlets. YouTube was blocking it for a while. Facebook was taking it down and reporting people that were sharing photos and videos and bits and pieces of the ass whooping. They would not allow you to post it on your page or a comment. Instagram, TikTok. TikTok was taking down the video left and right. Twitter, same thing. WhatsApp, Snapchat, fill in the blank, any app was aggressively taking down the footage of what took place in Montgomery over the weekend. And I find that very funny because time and time again, whenever it's a black person on the receiving end of an ass whooping or getting shot, choked out, lynched on camera for 9 minutes and 32 seconds, the public lynching of George Floyd went viral and they showed it in its entirety. They made sure to show it. Why? To remind black people of what happens when you step out of turn. There will be consequences and repercussions. So it would behoove you to keep your black ass in line. Don't get out of pocket. Don't get out of order. Don't raise your voice. Don't fight back. Don't stand up for yourself. Be compliant. Shut the fuck up and stay in your place. Or else this is what could happen to you. Every single time a black person is on camera on the wrong end of something violent being perpetrated by a white person, the media runs it on a continuous loop. On a much smaller scale, there was a fight that broke out on Saturday night in Major League Baseball. There's maybe about 14, 15 black people still playing Major League Baseball. And one of those 15 brothers still playing baseball, American-born brothers, a shortstop for the Chicago White Sox by the name of Tim Anderson was involved in a fight. A close play at second base, a tag was applied, you know, it got physical, and he got knocked out. He got punched in the face, fair and square. He got knocked out. He caught a fade, and he caught ass whooping. ESPN, I'm watching SportsCenter later on that night. They ran this replay over and over again, continuously. They showed this shit from multiple different angles. They had next-gen stats. They had a telestrator for this shit. They replayed this brother getting knocked out relentlessly over and over again. It was ESPN top 10 plays. They showed this shit on ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPNU. They playing Major League Baseball. Them motherfuckers not in college. They showed this shit on ESPN Classic, ESPN The Ocho. I mean, just continuously kept playing this fight, this knockout over and over again. Now, you know, hypothetically speaking, let's just say that Tim Anderson knocked out a white player. Do you think they would show it like that? And the anchors were laughing. They were gleefully, happily laughing at this footage of Tim Anderson getting knocked out. What would happen if Tim Anderson, like I said, if he knocked out a white player, it would be completely different. They'd have a full 8-person panel discussion talking about violence in sports. We got to clean up the game of baseball. This is a black eye for the sport. We can't have this. Tim Anderson should be suspended for the rest of this season, the half of next season, take his money away from him, send him back to the minor leagues, you know, all types of shit. If Tim Anderson or one of the other 14 brothers still playing Major League Baseball had knocked out a white player or even a Latino player, it was a Dominican brother that knocked him out. It's always a double standard. Always a double standard. Always hypocrisy. How come all these apps, all these social media outlets and platforms were so vigilant in trying to take down the footage of all of these envelopians getting their asses handed to them in Montgomery over the weekend? Why was it such a taboo thing for the public to see a group of unseasoned folks getting beaten up by some black folks? What's wrong? Time and time again, black people have to be reminded of their trauma. We're constantly reminded of what happens to us. We always see it. That's why there's so many black folks walking around with PTSD, because they got to relive their trauma over and over and over again. Mental health is a motherfucker, and a lot of black people got fucked up mental health. And that's one reason for it, in my opinion, because you turn on your TV, you scroll down your newsfeed, and you see people that look like you getting the shit beaten out of them by someone who doesn't look like you over something trivial, petty, inconsequential. You were sleeping in a library. You were trying to buy coffee at Starbucks, going for a morning jog, sitting in your own apartment. You called roadside assistance, selling CDs in front of a liquor store, being in the backyard at your grandmother's house, celebrating a bachelor party, being 12 years old and playing with a BB gun, walking to your dad's house in a neighborhood full of people that don't look like you, and being attacked by somebody who went into business for himself after the police told him not to because he felt threatened by you being armed with such dangerous weapons as green tea and a pack of Skittles. Black people have to consistently and constantly be reminded of their own trauma and walk around with PTSD because of it. But heaven forbid some white folks turn on their TV and see some people that look like them getting more hands and feet put on them than the Hollywood Walk of Fame. God forbid some white folks see other white folks getting their ass kicked, especially by some Negroes. We can't have that. More rich, creamery, buttery goodness that came out of all this. A guy by the name of Chase Shipman. Boy, I tell you, that's a white man's name if I ever heard one. Have you ever in your life met a brother by the first name of Chase? First name. I know Ja'Marr Chase, football player, outstanding wide receiver for the Cincinnati Bengals. His last name is Chase. But me personally, I've never met a black man by the name of Chase. To me, that would be an inappropriate thing to name a black person, a black man especially, because black folks are usually being chased. So to name your child Chase as a black person to me would be a bit egregious, but I digress. Chase Shipman, formerly or currently, I guess, still, I don't know, the owner of Vassar's Mini Marts in Selma, Alabama, was caught up in the mix. He was one of the antagonizers, instigators, troublemakers down there in Montgomery causing conflict, and he immediately had to backtrack on social media and issue the following statement. Quote, "I am sure most of you have seen the news about the riverboat incident. Yes, I was there, but I was the first to try to get away, okay, dude? I was the first to try to get away. You can see in the video I attached, and I do not condone what happened. I tried to stop it, and I realized, hold on, I gotta try this again. He's from Alabama. He doesn't talk that way. He doesn't have that accent. So I gotta restart, recharge, recalibrate, and try this again. So let me do this again. Second take, all right? And go. Chase Shipman said the following, and I quote, "See, I'm sure most of you seen the news about the riverboat incident. Yes, I was there, but I was the first to try to get away. You can see in the video I attached, I do not condone what happened. I tried to stop it, and I realized that I could not, so I tried to get away. There's video of me being the first to run away because what was happening was wrong and I didn't want to be a part of it. I realize I have a business to run and I represent, and no charges were filed against me because I was not involved. I know it was wrong and it should not have ever happened." End quotes. And since then, the Facebook page for Vassar's Mini Mart has been deleted off of Facebook. The number is either blocked or the inbox voicemail is full. I actually called the number, I'm not gonna lie. And for those of you who are curious and want to know what the phone number is for Vassar's Mini Mart, well, your good friend, your good pal, Dion Tyree Gordon of the Dion Gordon Podcast is here to help. The phone number for Vassar's Mini Mart in Selma, Alabama is 334-418-0560. Once again, that's area code 334-418-0560. 0560. Business hours, or should I say business hours, is between 5 a.m. and 8 p.m. Vassar's Mini Mart is located at 1900 West Dallas Avenue in Selma, Alabama, zip code 36701. Make sure you stop by Vassar's Mini Mart and say hello to Chase Shipman and give him my best regards, unless you're a black person, because he made it clear on Facebook he doesn't want our money. One of his Facebook either comments or posts, yeah, it's a comment, and I quote once again, said, "I don't need you people's money. I prefer superior white dollars." And to make it even funnier, Chase Shipman, good old Chase, was given the business by his family. Another Caucasian product of nepotism. Wouldn't you look at that? You know, that's, you know what? That's something you don't see every day. Well, actually, you do. A white person being the beneficiary of nepotism. You didn't have to work hard. Somebody just gave you everything you got in life. You didn't have to put in the blood, the sweat, the tears, the equity, the hard work, get your hands dirty, rise and shine, wake up early in the morning, go to bed late at night. You didn't have to do the grunt work. You didn't earn a damn thing. Somebody just gave it to you. Nepotism. It's awesome. I mean, I wouldn't know. My family's poor. Nobody in my family is even capable of giving me shit. So I don't know what nepotism feels like, but Chase Shipman does, because he was given a business back in June, and then in August, in one fateful afternoon, he took a trip down to Montgomery, Alabama, and got his ass whooped and was publicly humiliated, went viral, and fucked up the entire business. Good job, Chase. That a boy, Chase. Pat on the back, man. Round of applause for our boy, Chase Shipman. Yeah, that's a good guy right there. Good work. You were given the ball and you fumbled at the 1 yard line. 400 year head start, and here you are. You fucked all of it up. Congratulations, sir. And here are the other names of the troublemakers, instigators, antagonizers, miscreants, degenerates, lowlifes, cocksuckers, douchebags, vile human pieces of feces that were involved in the Montgomery melee. They go by as follows. Leah Pearson Chappelle, a school teacher. "This animal, this thug is around our children. Won't somebody please think of the children?" Leah Pearson Chappelle, no relation to Dave Chappelle. Steve Todd, a guy with two first names. Rachel Faulkner Todd, that must be his wife, obviously. Catherine Cromer Martin, Anna Blake Langford, Mary Elizabeth Todd. Now, what a cunt she is. This woman had the audacity to steal my grandmother's name. Do you know my grandmother's name? My sweet, dear grandmother, who I miss every day. You know her name was Mary Elizabeth Gordon. Now, here you got this criminal, this thug, domestic terrorist, committing, helping, aiding and abetting in felonious assaults on hardworking, innocent black people, has the audacity to take my grandmother's name. What a lowlife piece of shit Mary Elizabeth Todd is. Fuck you. Alan Todd, Zachary Chase Shipman. Oh, that's his full name. Okay, it's not just Chase. That is even whiter. That is about as Caucasian as it gets. Zachary Chase Shipman. Wow. Those are the names of the river thugs, the people that tried to commit bodily harm and tried to kill, murder, victimize, harass, brutalize, antagonize innocent, hardworking black folks. Those are their names. These people had the worst weekend ever. It started off in a very innocent, fun, wholesome way. I've seen the pictures. They were out there in the boat having a great day, having fun, having a blast, unwinding, kicking back. And then it all ended because you just had to be pretentious, entitled, and arrogant and think that space belonged to you and that Negro has no business trying to tell you what to do. See what happens when you're narcissistic, See what happens when you're problematic. See what happens when you don't drink water and mind your own business. You show up to a riverboat. You show up on a Sunday afternoon and you get dog walked. You get embarrassed. You are the source of public shame. Your businesses, your careers, reputation up in smoke. You are now, you shall forever be known as those people that went down to that riverboat in Montgomery, caused trouble, and then got your ass whipped. The moral of the story is, just leave people the fuck alone. They're not bothering you. If somebody tells you what to do, hey, you can't dock your boat here. Okay, cool. I'll dock it somewhere else. The explanation that you gave me is plausible. It makes sense. A bigger boat has to come in. You know what? I'll just go somewhere else. And I'll avoid the shame and the embarrassment and more importantly, the ass whooping. But they chose not to do that. I don't hate white people. It might sound that way, but that's not true. In my heart, in my mind, body, and soul, I don't hate white people. I hate problematic, narcissistic, entitled, privileged, condescending, arrogant, smug people of any race, nationality, and background. It just so happens that a lot of white folks fit that description. That's not my problem. I don't like anybody who acts that way. It is what it is. If you take offense to what I said, I'm sorry that you're softer than the people that you like. Tell me when I'm telling lies. I was disappointed tremendously in the black people of Mobile, Alabama, for being handkerchief head Negroes, for having a crab in the bucket mentality, for hating on their own people, especially if they perceive them to be doing better than them. I was gravely, tremendously, emphatically disappointed with the black folks of Mobile during my 1 year, unfortunately, of living down in Mobile, Alabama. However, from what I saw over the weekend, I am proud and tremendously pleased with the black folks in Montgomery. I don't know if they're any better on a personal level, but at least they stuck together and helped each other out and displayed black unity. I was proud to see that. All jokes aside, the biggest win that I saw out of all this was black folks sticking together. We need more of that. It doesn't always have to be violent, but just in any way, in any capacity, black people stick together, stay on the same page, demonstrate unity, move together in unison. Collectively, no one can stop us. United we stand, divided we fall. Continue demonstrating unity. I know that more than likely is going to fall on deaf ears, but, you know, I can hope anyway. I can hope. I can have optimism. I can hope that maybe one day, maybe this might be the catalyst for black folks to get on code, to get on the same page. I doubt it, but, you know, it sounds good. Wishful thinking. White folks, I can't stress this enough. I don't hate you. I just hate people that are complicit with white supremacy and adversarial towards people that look like me. That's it. That's all. And with all of that being said, that concludes this episode of the Dion Gordon Podcast. Eternally grateful, always humble, and very much appreciative. And remember, at all times, to tread lightly like a woodpecker with a headache. Zachary Chase Shipman, Leah Chappelle and company, Mary Elizabeth Kunz, or whatever her name was. Y'all can take that advice. If y'all listening, hello. I appreciate you listening. I appreciate anybody and everybody that listens to the Dion Gordon Podcast. But if for whatever reason you decide to fuck with some black people unprovoked, pay attention and listen to what I'm saying. Tread lightly like a woodpecker with a headache. Until next time, picture me rolling. I'm out.